Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Monday, July 13th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. Cheyenne Frontier Days kicks off on Friday, and the theme, Year of the American Indian, coincides with the nation's 250th birthday. Wyoming Public Radio's Camila Kadelska reports that's because of the completion of the new Morning Star American Indian Village.
Back in 2021, the Cheyenne Frontier Days Foundation got a donation to redo the venue's American Indian Village. Executive Director of the Foundation, Renee Middleton, says Morning Star will be open this year for the first time.
This one's really about educating and helping people understand what a phenomenal culture the American Indians in general have, as well as the American Indians, Plains Indians, here in this part of the world.
Middleton says Indigenous people have been part of the event since its start 130 years ago. The new village is three times larger than the previous one. It will feature dance performances, storytelling, and more. Cheyenne Frontier Days begins July 17th and lasts through the 26th. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Camila Kadelska.
Applications are now open to fill the many rural health care gaps in Wyoming. The state is allocating more than $200 million in federal Rural Health Transformation Act funding. Applications are open to critical access hospitals and emergency medical service providers trying to sustain basic services. Federally qualified health centers and tribally run clinics can also get funds to expand their reach. Other dollars could go toward creating medical residency programs and providing new technology to independent providers. Applications are open until August 3rd, and those funds have to be awarded by October 30th and spent by the end of September of next year. Applicants can renew funds for up to 5 years. More frequent and severe wildfires, prolonged drought, deadly storms, and other effects of changing climate are impacting Wyomingites' mental health. Public News Service's Eric Galatis has more.
Symptoms can range from anxiety and feelings of helplessness to post-traumatic stress disorder and increases in violence and suicide, according to research from the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. Therapist Derek Sabri with the Michigan School of Psychology says high summer temperatures can be especially dangerous for people struggling with mental health challenges.
Extreme heat tends to exacerbate mental health emergencies and tends to have an impact on people who take antidepressant medication, particularly because of things like the difficulty with the body regulating heat.
Wyoming has consistently had one of the highest suicide rates of all 50 states, alongside Alaska and Montana. State officials and mental health advocates have worked to address the problem by funding prevention specialists in all counties. The state also has two confidential call centers where operators are available 24/7. You can reach them by dialing 988. I'm Eric Galatis.
The already strong El Niño is strengthening, a trend with potentially significant implications for the intense and now tragic fire season. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports.
During El Niño, equatorial Pacific Ocean temperatures are above normal. There are global effects, and in the American West, they are geographically varied. Climatologist Abby Frazier says they often bring more moisture to the southwest, which can reduce fire risk in the short term.
A little bit further north and inland, El Niño is likely going to bring drier, warmer conditions. Putting that into potential fire danger, right, drier and warmer may lead to more wildfire risk.
A broad swath from western Colorado to the northwest is expected to have above average risk of significant wildfire through the end of August. After that, just the Northwest will remain at higher risk, according to federal forecasts. By October, normal fire risk is expected for the entire country. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
Rideshare companies Uber and Lyft are using algorithms that charge consumers significantly different prices for the exact same ride, according to a new investigation by Consumer Reports. Public News Service's Eric Galatis has more.
Volunteers requested numerous rides, all from the same location to the same destination and at the exact same time, but fares differed by as much as 50%. Rachel Dempsey with the Colorado nonprofit Towards Justice says one problem is that companies are not required to disclose what factors determine how much riders have to pay.
And they could potentially be using things like how much phone battery you have left, how far you are from home. Things like that, I think, make consumers really vulnerable to being charged excess prices for the services they need.
Not unlike surge pricing for concert tickets, hotel rooms, and even groceries, the new report suggests that Uber and Lyft algorithms are programmed to calculate the maximum amount they can get consumers to pay. Uber and Lyft have questioned the report's methodology and conclusions and claim any price variations are based on real-time marketplace conditions. The companies also say they do not personalize base fares for individuals or engage in behavioral or surveillance pricing. I'm Eric Galatas.
And here's Ivy Engel with a look at what happened this week in Wyoming history.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from history from around the state. According to the Wyoming Historical Society, on July 12, 1890, Lander was incorporated. On July 12, 1960, the Wyoming delegation to the Democratic National Convention cast the final votes needed to win the presidential nomination for John F. Kennedy. On July 15, 1872, the cornerstone was laid for the first territorial penitentiary in Laramie. On July 15, 1958, the Mountain States Telephone and Telegraph Company marked the installation of its 2 millionth telephone in its Rocky Mountain region. On July 16, 1938, Fort Laramie was declared a national monument. On July 17, 1983, the Casper Troopers performed at the inaugural United States Football League football championship game. On July 17, 1915, snow fell at Hartville. On July 17, 1935, two Lingle residents were struck by lightning on a calm, slightly cloudy day. Neither was injured. And according to the University of Wyoming American Heritage Center, on July 12, 1886, the site was selected for the university building on the UW campus. The building is now known as Old Main. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. The largest wooden ship ever built was a six-masted schooner, the Wyoming. How did it get that name? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for Friday's trivia question, where is Wyoming's intergalactic spaceport? Well, our fine state's intergalactic spaceport is located on South Hill, about 5 miles south of Green River. It includes a 57-foot runway, which is used for private aircraft, for now. Sure, you may laugh, but as the Boy Scouts say, be prepared, and Green River appears to be the only community in the state that is prepared for that eventuality. Congratulations to Roberta Hunt, a regular who once again was the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. Stay cool and tune in again tomorrow.